Welcome everyone to the Mentium Matters podcast, where we talk about leadership, life, and the transformative power of mentoring. I'm Megan Cummings Kruger, and today we're going to take a look at strengths of all types, the strength of diversity of thought and cultural diversity, and on the personal level, the power of recognizing what our unique strengths are, as well as the strength that comes from balance. So lots to talk about today. And for this conversation, we're very fortunate to have with us Dolly Haupert, who is Vice President, Leading Sales and Channel Support for the Consumer Lending Division at U.S. Bank. And before we begin our conversation, I just want to share a little of Jolie's background with you. Jolie has been a banker for her entire career. She began her career as a teller and has been a branch manager, business banking officer, district manager, project manager, and chief administration officer for the Metropolitan Branch Division in the past. She received her BS from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and is a very proud and active member of their alumni association. I know she's not alone with that. And she received her MBA in management from University of St. Thomas. Jolie lives outside of Cleveland, Ohio, where she relocated to for U.S. Bank about 19 years ago with her husband, Tim, and their rescue dog, Gretel. Her oldest daughter, Sierra, is a mechanical engineer for Renewal by Anderson and lives in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, while her youngest daughter, Kylie, is studying at Kent State University and works for the Cleveland Guardians. So that's got to be an excellent hook. Beyond work and family, Jolie has a passion for activity, whether it is sand volleyball, walking, or weightlifting. And through it all, her commitment to mentoring has been evident. So along with all the internal mentoring Jolie has done, Mentium has been fortunate to enjoy a long partnership with her as well. First as a mentee, and then once she returned as a mentor, she at this point is mentoring her 7th and 8th Mentium mentee. So she brings really rich experience to this conversation. So welcome, Jolie.
Thank you, Megan, for having me.
Absolutely. I'd like to start out by hearing about one of your early experiences in your career when you made that move from Minneapolis to Cleveland. And you recognized pretty quickly the Cleveland community had a much larger African-American population than Minneapolis at that time. And what I appreciated learning about you was that more than 20 years ago, your first focus was on creating a workforce that mirrored its community. And you were successful. You ended up managing the second most diverse district in all of U.S. Bank. And then, of course, as you continued to move up and take on increasingly senior teams, you continued that focus on having inclusive teams. So all to say that I'd love to hear, because you're kind of in the vanguard with those efforts, what have you found most effective in being able to transform work cultures into more inclusive cultures?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And it's something that comes very natural to me. And when I was thinking about this, I have been inclusive starting when I was a child. My dad was in the Army, so we moved around a lot and I had to meet new friends, meet new people all the time. So finding out and being curious about people around me was something that I did at a very young age. But also my brother has a disability. So being inclusive and wanting to be a part of a group is something that I've also seen with him and the people who he would do adaptive sports with and that type of thing. So it's always been in my brain that, you know, people bring differences and you should celebrate those differences to come together and have a better team, whether or not it's work or sports. But when I moved from Minnesota, the last branch that I had in Minnesota had several people from Nigeria and one person from Liberia. So it was really interesting to find out their stories, because at the time in Minnesota, we were just having a lot of the immigrants coming in. And so to really think about the challenges that they had coming, and then the people who would come to them because they spoke the language, they understood their history, they understood what they went through, all those types of things. So when I came here to Cleveland, and over half the population is Black here in Cleveland, I started looking around and saying, okay, and even in the neighborhood that I lived in, diversity was all across. There was Black, there was white, there was Asian, there was Indian, there were all kinds of people. So I was so excited about my kids being able to do that. But then when I started looking at my branches and the areas that they were in, I started thinking about how I could strategically make sure that we mirror the community, because I've been in situations where I'm not the community, and it has been, well, you're the bank manager when you're a young woman, or in a predominantly Black neighborhood when you are the one who's a loan officer and maybe not necessarily being able to say yes, you know, those types of things where you're like, okay, I need to make sure that the people in my, on my team and in my branches really can have the same experiences, can have the same history, can be trusted as that advisor. So I really made a conscious effort to learn about what the community needed and then bring those type of people to the community. But at the same time, and I'll go back to what I said about when I was a kid, my curiosity about finding out who they are really helped me too, because asking the questions and not assuming I knew everything has made me, I think, a better leader, a better person, because it has continued to make me ask questions about where people come from, what do they need, what are their languages, what's their history, what are those types of things that I don't have the same background as what they do or the same experiences that they do, but sharing that together makes us what's so awesome about this country and the workforce that we have.
Absolutely. And, you know, along with, of course, bringing empathy to this, which is, you know, finally getting its day in the sun as how significant and important that is, genuine empathy. But also, it's really captures the essence of mentoring also, which is seeing different perspectives, staying open, not assuming. And it's so easy to say that, but it's very easy to just, when we're busy, when we're distracted, assume. In fact, oftentimes when I'm doing different types of orientations, we talk about how sometimes we literally don't know we're making assumptions until someone stops us. And so I do imagine that had a huge impact, because we know that by nature, humans don't always like change at the start. It can be a bit challenging. So I imagine as you were making this effort, I imagine you were encountering some resistance. Would that be fair to say?
Yes. Yes, I did. And at the same time, you know, promoting women was a big deal, but also making sure it wasn't done because I wanted to check a box. And I think sometimes people think that, right? You have to do DE&I because we've got to check it off. We've got to say we're diverse, include, like, you really have to make that decision that you are going to do this and go with, yes, what some of the consequences are. And I had several times where people came after me because I promoted a man instead of a woman, or, you know, it was, if something that they did happen, then it came to, are you being discriminatory? And so some of that is, you also have to remember again, that if you make a choice to believe in being inclusive, you have to be okay with some of those things that happen to you, but it's going to happen because, again, there are biases out there all across, and ensuring that you recognize those biases and do your best to overcome what people perceive and really stay true to who you are on the inside, I think is extremely important to that, because it can be very difficult at times to face some of that.
Oh, absolutely. And I imagine, you know, when I think about all of that, when we think about the personal level of strengths, along with the strengths that come, the business case, all the things that we know, diversity of thought, diverse culture is in fact a positive on so many levels. But then there's also, of course, our own strengths. And I remember you sharing with me, first off, I think probably you're a very clear communicator. I imagine that's a piece of it. But you also talked about how you kind of credit some of your success to your strength in influencing. And I imagine that played a pivotal role. So I'd love to just take a moment now and have you share, what are some things you've learned along the way, best practices or tips? Because there's a lot of people in our audience who are either new to leadership or focusing on strengthening their ability to influence, especially these days. So can you share a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, so very interesting talking about influence, because at an early age, giving speeches and especially influential speeches, I could do really well. And it comes naturally. On DISC, my eye is really high. Within Strength Finders, I have a lot of influencing strength themes that are in my top. But what I will say to this, and when I first thought about, okay, how would I answer this question? Right off the bat, you have to actually listen. And it's really difficult for a lot of people to do that because you want it to be that it's you, like, especially when it's, okay, I've got this idea, I've got this project, I have the, and it's my agenda. And I just need you to say, okay, check the box, right? So what I think what has helped me and what I would say to people is you have to be really good at asking questions. You also have to be very good at watching and listening. So you are nodding right now, right? I'm a nodder also. So how are people doing their nonverbals? Are they standing back? Are they leaning forward? Are they just, you know, bored as all heck? And are they really answering the questions? And when you have to get down to it, it has to be what's in it for you. It is my whatever I need to help pursue you to do. And in a lot of my career now, I have had to influence for people to do things, but I didn't directly manage them, right? So I had to always make sure that at the end of the day, whatever I was trying to have you do, this is how it helps you. And so I would listen to that. And look, it's not, this is not perfection, but it's also just make sure you have good questions. And if you need to, write them down. But again, if you write them down, then you read, you stop, you listen, you take notes if you need to, but you come back to, this is what you told me or helped me to understand, or is this what I heard you say? So that as you wrap up and then say, okay, I need you, then I'm understanding where you come from. So yeah. I think that's a big thing is have really good questions, then just ask them and listen.
Yeah, so I think that's just such an important point. Again, it sounds so simple. And certainly we find in the world of mentoring, so many things really are simple. It's a matter of remembering. In fact, one of the things we know about mentors is a lot of times the most help they can be at points is just to listen, which is what you're talking about. I also really appreciate recognizing that that's going to be hard for some people than others. You know, there's we do a business education webinar on communication styles. And I'm a very much a spirited, like way up there in the spirited category. We love to brainstorm. We like to erupt upon the scene with an idea. And so that intentionality that you were talking about, thinking about what's in it for them in a win-win kind of way, thinking about what their style may be, what's going to be helpful for them, and listen, 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 right?
Right. Yes. And follow through, right? The other side of this is if you're asking questions and you're saying, hey, I'm going to do this for you, you have to follow through with that. And I think you brought up a good point that really is important to remember for people is the way that people want to be communicated with. There are a lot of us who love verbal, and I like to see, I miss the conference rooms where you could hash out a problem in the conference room in 45 minutes versus, you know, 45 days on a conference call, right? But we have to do things differently. But some people, like I can think on my feet, but others need to have something written down. So if you know you have somebody who likes to read and think through before you have the conversation, you've got to do that. This is not about you. It's about them. And that will help you as you continue to gain that trust and respect from those that are around you. If you just make it about you and the way you like to be communicated with or to or for, then I believe you're going to have a little bit more problems than if you make it around that other person that's in front of you.
Absolutely. You know, one of the quotes I love is something along the lines of, you know, the greatest mistake with communication is thinking that it happened. Yes. Again, we go back to those assumptions.
Yes.
So I want to now take a step back with my next question and really look at strengths as a whole. So right now, of course, a lot of organizations, leaders are struggling with employee engagement and retention. There's a lot of reasons for that. So there is a greater recognition of the need to support the efforts of leaders and help them understand what their unique abilities are so that they can identify ways they can leverage their strengths for their own satisfaction as well as for the organization. Again, a win-win. And of course, those of us who keep track of this know, and you, I know, Gallup's been at the forefront of this work, you know, promoting awareness around the fact that our energy, our motivation, it's going to be at our best when we can be focusing on our strengths. And that instead of focusing on becoming well-rounded, almost to become more spiky, figure out those abilities and start to hone them. I know you share my enthusiasm for the Gallup tool that they developed around this, the Strengths Finder. And you've talked about how useful it's been working with your mentees. In fact, I know a lot of mentors actually who find that useful depending on where their mentee is. So what I'd love to hear now is how you share how you've used the Strength Finders in a mentor partnership and why you think it's so valuable.
So I started, several years back when I first was doing more around Gallup and understanding the coaching features of it and themes and all of the themes coming together, I started asking my mentees if they had done Strength Finders. And if they did, let's talk about, you know, their strength themes and not only their top five, but all 34. And if they hadn't done it, then I would suggest, I would say, you know what, it is, you know, such and such a price, go look, like it is worth your time. And so the interesting thing that I do is when I'm getting together, and usually in the initial meetings, I'll ask that question. I actually, with one of my mentees right now, she put it right on, she had a PowerPoint slide, she put it right on there, right, of what her top five strength themes are. But I think digging into who they are, right? And I'll go back to what I just talked about too, of the communication piece. I like to find out who they are of their top theme so that I can understand how to help and or be present in the conversations. And why I say that is my number one strength theme is achiever. So I am constantly in my head moving to action. And so when I have mentees, and I'll say that to them, I'll say, hey, if we're going to talk about something and I don't have to have structure. So I will also, you know, talk about their strength. If they're disciplined, right? My discipline is 34 out of 34 for me, right? So I'm like, okay, if you need to type up an agenda, we will type up, we will follow that. If you want to just free flow, we will do that. But it comes up. I've talked to enough people now around strength themes and how they all fit together that I can pretty intuitively understand how, like, what they like, what they don't like. But what I like to do is when I say, go back to my achiever, not that it's about me, but at the same time, I'm trying to have it be that when the mentees come to me and they want to talk about something, I have to have them tell me, and this started with somebody who was on my team. I need them to just say, Jolie, I just need you to listen. I don't need you to fix it. I don't need a solution, because mine is constantly going to what can you do? What can you do? What can you do? So I like to find those types of things and things that we have in common. The other tool that I have used is bringing out the best of me. And it's about, what do you like to do? What brings out the best of you in your work and in your life? And then what do you not like? And I've actually used it with some of my mentees to say, why don't you do this with your team? You don't have to do Strength Finders, but this is a great tool to ask, like, what do you need from me? And so I think a lot of people who are first-time leaders and first-time managers, they've gotten a lot out of having those conversations with their team, but then also they brought this tool to their boss. Because if you're strategic and you want to do ideas and you're not able to ideate all the time, or in your boss is the one who is, you're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. So how do we make sure that, you know, if you want to think, that you have time to think, if you want to do, you have the ability to do, if you want to speak, you are the one. So a lot of those types of things is how I gauge what their themes are and how do we utilize that in the conversations that we have. And I think it's helped a lot.
I have no doubt. I'm also a huge advocate for the tool. Strength Finders 2.0, and then the other tool that I'm always talking about with groups and mentees is the HRDQ communication styles tools. Those tools alone together provide you so much information. And what I love about hearing this is, you know, there are certain things, like in our program launch guide, we have a number of exercises. And much like the Strengths Finder, part of the power is detaching and using an external structure to be able to share information early on before the misunderstandings start to crop up. And so I think the timing with the Strength Finders, you know, within the first month or so makes a lot of sense to me. And kind of, if they haven't done it before, it gives more fodder for your discussion, I would think.
Right. Because if you're utilizing that tool, if you're doing that tool, the best thing that you can do is read the paragraphs and then underline or highlight the phrases that come out of it, of your top five themes or even the top 10. If you highlight those that stick out to you that you're like, oh yeah, that's me. Right. Or, and sometimes it's, oh yeah, that's me. And sometimes it's, oh yeah, that's me. I mean, there are some people who are like, I don't like my number one. I don't like my, but they read it. And actually what you have to know about StrengthFinders is they're utilizing all 34 when they're saying what they are. Achievers like to do lists is what they say. I know a lot of people in my life who are achievers who have lists for everything. I do not. Mm-hmm. I don't write lists. I don't have a task that I have to have done every day. I just have to do something every day. So, you know, when I talk about some of the pieces of it, it's making sure that when you see that and you're like, oh yeah. And would somebody else in your life, or what's the one word or two words that people would describe you as, you could probably see that in those write-ups. So understanding what that's all about too, and really digging in and being okay with it is good too. And also knowing that discipline is number 34. It doesn't mean I can't stick to something. I just have to have it in a different way than I couldn't do this job, I couldn't be on an assembly line. It's not what would bring out the best in me. But if I need to do a task then and do it every day, then okay, I have to do that because somebody needs it from me, and just bring it about that way.
Well, that's also a really good point, because just like with anything, there are highs and lows with any strength. I love, actually, from the HRDQ communication assessment, I've stole this language because it's so effective. And it talks about really a weakness or a development opportunity is an overused strength. And I think that gives us permission to understand. And in StrengthFinders, I think they call it balcony and basement. So yes, at our best, it's amazing what we're bringing. At our, you know, distracted, stressed, upset, you know, that strength can go into the basement.
Yes.
All right. So now another interesting concept you shared with me that I do want to touch on. You were sharing that you recently benefited from this master's class view of how important the role of play is at work. I think some organizations are beginning to understand that with the volume of stress and feeling overwhelmed that so many employees feel, it's part of that. It helps with our sense of well-being, right? I also think it's pretty fair to say for most of us, it's probably the first thing we lose track of as how fun could help us balance our stress. So I'm just thinking the audience would love to hear some examples of what you've tried working on that theme. What have you tried to have your team do differently and bring play into work?
Yeah, so this has been something that, so when I went to through my MBA, I had a creative leadership class. And it was very cool because we got to do things that were different and we all got to choose. One was, you know, making and eating sushi rolls. One was going to a jazz club. And one of the things that they had done at the time was called walk and talk. And it was where you just go outside and you kind of breathe in the environment. And those who are in the Twin Cities and know the St. Thomas campus in St. Paul, it's beautiful around that area, right? So, you know, you walk and the idea of going out and walking and talking to somebody one-on-one is about anything. It doesn't have to be about work. It doesn't have, but you can also with work, it makes a difference when it comes to, instead of stark walls or the mural boards, the whiteboards, the whatever it may be, the tasks that we need to do, you're going and you're walking. You're part of being outside. Stress is taken away from doing some of that. Also learned of doing kickball, right? There's been times when I was the district manager here that we would do competitive kickball with each other. And so, you know, having it be that you have in departments that maybe do some of those types of things, understanding not everybody wants to do athletics. It's okay. They can coach, right? Or, you know, they can have the water pieces. But one of the things through COVID that we had to do was stay connected, right? And so we're seeing everybody on the screen. And it is my team right now and my team in the past 10 years have been all across the country. And so different environments, different time zones, that type of thing. So doing social hours where you wear your favorite sports team, or you, and then we had a scavenger hunt one time. Go find this, go find that, you know, and it, or in the space that you're in, show us your pets, right? Yes. And we have a lot of that, but I don't, but I think now in 2023, we're forgetting some of that. Mm-hmm. And the other side of it, when you're in a hybrid situation, okay, they want to bring you back because they want you to be with others. And I will tell you, in the office that I'm in right now, there are four other people. I'm in an office with the door closed. They're over there, right? I have to purposely go out and have a conversation. So you can purposely play some of this. And what I would say to what I do now is with my team is we have questions of the day. So, and really we say question of the day. My team meeting was this morning. My team all gets to pick questions that we ask each other. And today was, in three words or phrases, describe somebody who's the polar opposite of you.
Ew, interesting.
And it is because you, and in some cases they were saying, I'm like, oh my gosh, your polar opposite is me.
So, but also, hey, what a safe way to do it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, who was your favorite father figure? All those types of, that gets personal. Like, we do enough work, and work is going to be here, but let's make sure we get to know each other and not assume that after a year, because this team has been with me for a year now, that I know everything about them or each other, because they don't. They live thousands of miles away. They don't always spend time together. But then when you do have together, get a social hour and get people to network. Do some of those networking kind of games to get to know each other, because if not, you're in your own little group and you're standing there, and that's not...
Yeah,
it's not fun either. So yeah, those are some of the ways that we've done it.
I thank you so much for all those examples, because sometimes we just need to hear a few specifics and get our own thoughts going. I know that one that we've always had a lot of fun with is the two truths and a lie, depending on how you're structuring it. There are certain, and you know, part of it also is there is a camaraderie that develops when people start laughing together, right? And yes, the other thing I would highlight, because I'm a nerd and I, you know, I live in this research, is when you can reduce stress and when you can cause more present focus, that's when the creativity comes. So it really is a win-win, right?
Yes. And I will tell you, the walk and talk is the really interesting time, because when you pair people or put them in three, you know, and they start again, they give them 20, 25 minutes and give them a problem to solve. Yes, you're absolutely right that change of environment, change of venue, change of just, you know, the comfort of that really helps to make them be more open with each other and yeah, not feeling like, you know, am I going to be the one who's, you know, not wanting to participate, or, oh, there we go with the same person who likes to talk all the time, that type of thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. I could talk to you all day, clearly. Yeah. I have two final questions for you. And the first one is kind of a catch-all to make sure you shared what you wanted to make sure you shared with our audience. And the way I usually capture it is either as what's your advice to up-and-coming leaders, or what do you know now that you wish you'd known then? So what have we not touched on you'd like to share?
Two things I would say with that. Be you. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be somebody else because you believe you think you need to be somebody else in order to move up or move over. Be you and be good with who you are. Your mm-hmm. authentic self inside and outside work is important. And so be you. I don't know if I always thought that. I think with my age, I've come to finally realize that. I think the other thing, the best piece of advice that I had gotten from a manager that I would also stress is you're not managing you. So be you,
yeah,
but also understand that those around you aren't you. So yeah, truly understanding how to bring your authentic self, but also encourage others to, and know how to lead and coach to that, is extremely important too. Because just because I like to get stuff done doesn't, you know, boom, 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 doesn't mean that everybody, or I can multitask, doesn't mean that everybody can do that.
Yeah, those are great words of advice. All right, final question. Do you have a favorite quote or motto?
I do. So you mentioned that I'm a big Badger, and I'm a big Badger football fan. So JJ Watt, who actually just retired from pro football, he and his brothers all played for Wisconsin football. He had a quote that was, dream big, work hard. And I really like that, because I think as adults, we do the work hard. I'm not sure we do as much dreaming big as we did when we were children. So it's a good reminder to do both, because it is extremely important to be able to dream along with work.
Yeah, absolutely. It captures it so simply, but it really gets at the essence. Excellent.
Yeah.
We thank you so much for taking the time to share your wisdom, your experience around strengths, you know, your authenticity, and what can result when we help others recognize their unique abilities, and also making sure we take the time to do it for ourselves. You know, that positivity, that energy that comes when we focus on our strengths and fun, it's just a message that is so timely, but I would argue especially timely now. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I also want to thank all of our listeners for joining this Mentium Matters podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it with friends and colleagues. And if you're interested in additional resources, including some of the tools that I've referenced, you can find our show notes on the Mentium website. We look forward to having you join us for our next inspiring conversation.